In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's great to be with all of you. We always like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many wonderful titles. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And in the Hail Holy Queen, we cry out to Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and beg Mary to be with us. And ask Mary to pray with us and to pray for us so that we can love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let's pray. Hail Mary. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is our spiritual director, and he has many wonderful titles. Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Soul. The Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor. He's also known as our Consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. The Holy Spirit is also our Interior Master or Teacher. St. Paul says, we don't know to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us a lot of peace, a lot of joy, an interior fire to burn within our hearts. As we say, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Irenaeus, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Hachu, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. So we start by praying to Mary, the Holy Spirit, then we pray to the angels and the saints. So we indeed are in good company. We're in good company as we start off our conversation this morning. And as always, I promise to pray for you in the Mass, the two Masses that I'll be celebrating today. I'll have Mass at midday, and then another Mass at 7 o'clock in the evening, in another mission that I'm carrying out. So I'd like to place you on the altar and offer these intentions. First intention will be that all of us will strive, make a concerted effort to be open to the Holy Spirit. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. That will be our attitude. An attitude in which we're listening to the voice of God speaking to us. My second intention will be I'd like to pray for your family, your children, your teenagers, and your young adult children. To pray that those who have drifted away from God and the church and the sacramental life, that they will come back. That will never become discouraged, but will trust that God has His time, His manner, His way in which He can bring people back to church. Sometimes in mysterious ways. Our God is a God of mystery. He works in ways that we would never fathom by our limited human intellect. So I'd like to pray for your children that they return and recognize that true joy and happiness can only be discovered in union with God. He is our principle and foundation. My next intention will be once again in thanksgiving for the pro-life victory that was made on Friday, in which the Roe versus Wade decision was overturned. I would just say the battle is just beginning, though, because on a state level, still abortion is permitted in many states. So we have wind in our sails, but we still have a lot of work to do. We still have a lot of work to do to keep working and promoting the first and fundamental right of the human person that, as our Constitution points out, all of us are endowed with inalienable rights, and those rights are a right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And of course, if we're deprived of life, by abortion, which is really infanticide, really it's killing of the innocent child, and obviously we're not going to experience liberty and the pursuit of happiness if we were never even born. So let's, in a consistent, persevering, somewhat quiet way, not flaunting that success, keep working with the help of God's grace and through the prayers of Mary, the Mother of Life, to defend life. And also say, to defend life, but also to defend the family. Those are the two major attacks in our society, attack against human life and attacks against the family. So let's pray for those very, very special intentions. Defend life. Life is precious. Life is a gift from God. Life is the first of all of our rights. So let's thank God for the fact that He's given us life and live our life to the fullest extent possible. So before entering into our theme today, we basically have three themes. We've got another very important saint. His name is Saint Irenaeus. We are continuing with the minor prophet Amos. We have Psalm 5, and the antiphon is, "Lead me in your justice, Lord." Then we're continuing in Matthew chapter 8, in which we see one of the miracles of Jesus. The gospel today, my friends, is the only time in the whole Bible in which we see Jesus fast asleep. And you'll see where. It's a fascinating passage that only once in the whole Bible we see Jesus fast asleep. So that's our spiritual program today. Saint Irenaeus, the book of Amos, Psalm 5, and Matthew chapter 8, where we're going to see the apostles are waking Jesus up from a deep slumber. So, I want to thank you all because last night was a very beautiful night. I think many of you know that over the past basically 10 years I've been doing missionary work in the Diocese of LA and in Orange also, which I'm going to parishes in which I give the spiritual exercises program. About 18 years ago, I formed a spiritual exercises program that consists of 10 weeks. But I alternate that with Marian consecration programs, as well as I've done the consecration of St. Joseph, a course on the Holy Spirit. So yesterday, I was in the parish of St. Therese in Alhambra, I think, where Sophie was before she moved to Taiwan. And while there, we had a wonderful, wonderful conclusion of our program of Marian consecration. So I went 4 weeks in which I encouraged the people to consecrate themselves to Jesus through Mary by means of the mysteries of the rosary. So this is the second book that I wrote. It was a beautiful ceremony. And not only was it a beautiful ceremony, but also happened to be the birthday of the pastor, Father Thomas. So we were able to kill two birds with one stone. Just that you're aware of, our method or pastoral style of consecrating to Mary is we do it in the context of the Mass. Given that I'm a priest, I try to take advantage of the sacrament of grace that God has bestowed upon me. So we celebrated the Mass yesterday in honor of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. And I gave my homily on consecration to Mary, which will be posted on one of my podcasts. And you can listen to my homily. Then we had Father Thomas read the formal enrollment prayer of the scapular. Then me and Father Thomas, we imposed the scapulars upon the many people. We had a deacon that was blessing all the scapulars that were were given. And then after that, we proceeded to the second part of Mass, the offertory, the liturgy of the Eucharist. Then after the Mass, we did something very beautiful. We had a Eucharistic Marian procession. Eucharistic Marian procession there in Alhambra. We basically did a, we walked around the Church of St. Therese on the sidewalks, crossing one of the streets. And Father Thomas, he carried in procession the Eucharist in the monstrance. He was surrounded by two altar servers. We had incense. I accompanied him. We also carried a beautiful statue of Our Lady Fatima. It was a beautiful procession. We probably had a good 200 people that were walking in this Eucharistic Marian procession through the streets of Alhambra. Then after that, we walked into the church. We enthroned the Eucharistic presence of our Lord on the altar. I prayed the Most Holy Rosary, the Joyful Mysteries. Then we prayed the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Then Father Thomas gave a solemn blessing with the Eucharist. We sang a Eucharistic hymn. And after that, we gave Father Thomas a gift for the parish as well as for his birthday. And it was a very beautiful painting of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Now all the people, they made their consecration to Mary. They have their external sign of consecration to Mary is by wearing the scapular. So the scapular is the external sign of consecration. It's called the garment of grace. The external sign is called the garment of grace. And now, these many people are consecrated to Mary, which means they no longer belong to themselves, they belong to Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and through Our Lady of the Rosary. So it was a very, very beautiful celebration. So then in the month of August, I'll be doing another Marian consecration, but this time it's going to be in Spanish, and it'll be in the Church of Our Lady of Loreto, which is a church close to the cathedral downtown L.A. So we're on the move. We're on the move. Tonight I go to the Church of Sant Felipe Neri, in which I'm continuing the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius. So we're on the move. I'm on the move as well as my missionary team. We're on the move. Our Lord said, go out to the whole world and teach all I taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. So I thought I would just share that glorious evening of grace that many people received. And if you have not made a formal consecration to Mary, I invite you to do it. Irene Copioso was in the city of Mexico with a group of women in which they were consecrating themselves to Mary. They sent me a Zoom link, but I forgot to Zoom in. So I apologize for not being able to do that. It just skipped my mind. There's so many things on the back burner, and sometimes you arrive at a certain age where you forget certain things. You know? It's like the man was given memory pills, but he always forgot to take those memory pills. You know? So, my friends, it was a beautiful night. And once again invite all of you to consecrate yourself to Mary, and if you've done it, to renew your consecration to Mary every year. That should be an annual basis. I did my first in 1976, following St. Louis de Montfort, and after that I felt a real strong desire to become a priest. So Mary works. Mary works in a very powerful way. So let's move into the liturgy for the day. And part of our perseverance family is the communion of saints. That means when we celebrate the feast day of a saint, we try to get to know these saints, and then they become part of our perseverance family. So yesterday we celebrated Saint Cyril of Alexandria, who defended Mary as Mother of God against the heresy of Nestorius. So as a result of the work of Saint Cyril of Alexandria, the Council of Ephesus was convoked, and the Council Fathers proclaimed Mary as the Theotokos, which means the God-bearer. So that was the claim to fame, so to speak, of Saint Cyril of Alexandria. And so now we pray, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And of all the titles of Mary, Mary as being the Mother of God would be the most glorious of all the titles of Mary. So we move from Saint Cyril of Alexandria to another early saint. His name was Saint Irenaeus. And Irenaeus actually means peace. Peacemaker. He was born around the year 130. He was a disciple of Saint Polycarp. Saint Polycarp was a disciple of Saint John the Evangelist. He was born in Turkey, but he exercised his work as a bishop in France. There's a saying, they said, how strong is a chain, a watch chain, or toe chain, or even a friendship chain? It is as strong as the weakest link. So Irenaeus was one of the very strong links in the church at its very beginning. And one of the reasons why is because he wrote to defend the faith. He's known to be the father of systematic theology. He wrote 5 volumes of theology. He sought peace. Instead of fighting and arguing, he would try to dialogue with people to help them understand the fullness of the faith. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, in the time of Saint Cyril of Alexandria, which would be the 400s, Saint Irenaeus had to fight against another heresy. And the heresy that he had to fight against was not so much Nestorianism, but it was against what is called dualism. Dualism in which there was a wrong doctrine preaching that matter, the body, the flesh, all material things were bad. And these people called Gnostics believed that only certain individuals were enlightened to know the truth. And only a few would be saved. So Irenaeus had to preach against this. He taught using scripture that God willed that all persons should come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Not just a select group or an elite group. And so he and other Christian writers insisted that knowing God, obeying God's commandments, and having a close relationship with God were the most important things. So Saint Irenaeus was a man of peace, and there was kind of an argument as to when to celebrate Easter among the Church of the East. And Saint Irenaeus spoke with the Pope, his name was Victor I, saying that the date of Easter is not something dogmatic, but Easter, the day of Easter, can actually change according to the equinox. So actually the celebration of Easter and the fluctuating floating date goes back to the person of Saint Irenaeus. So he was one of the most important writers of the early church. He was a strong witness to the teaching of the Holy Roman Catholic Church that came from Peter the Apostles. And most likely, we don't know exactly how, but most likely Saint Irenaeus was martyred, and they say around the year 2002. And he exercised his priestly episcopal mission in France, known as Saint Irenaeus of Lyons. Exactly how he got to France and why he was moved to go there, we're really not certain. But let's ask Saint Irenaeus for these three graces. Number one, that we would try to live out the beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, because his name means peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Number two, that we would recognize that all that God has created is good, both the spiritual as well as the material. We don't believe in dualism or Gnosticism. And third, in honor of Saint Irenaeus, as well as Saint Cyril of Alexandria, let us all try to make a real effort to study our Catholic faith, to get to know our Catholic faith. One of the primary reasons why so many people are exiting or leaving the Catholic faith is because of great ignorance. So let's strive to get to know our faith. Myself, I'm trying to learn the beauty of the Catholic faith on a daily basis. But let's not keep our faith to ourselves. But rather, one of the best ways for us to grow in our faith is to share our faith with others. How true. One of the best ways for us to know our faith is to share our faith with others. Saint Irenaeus, pray for us. So my friends, we move from Saint Irenaeus to the readings for the day. And we're reading through one of the minor prophets. His name is Amos. And just a summary of one of the basic themes of Amos, as we talked about yesterday, is he's a promoter of the social doctrine of the church. Meaning this, if we really want to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that's the first and greatest commandment. The second that follows is we should be concerned about our neighbor, our brothers and sisters. Most specifically, we should try to help out the most vulnerable, the unborn baby, the elderly, the afflicted, the immigrant, the widow, the homeless, the suffering, the sick. Those are the people we should bend over backwards toward. So that's one of the primary themes of Amos, is that we have to make a concerted effort to care for the poor. To care for the poor. Okay, I'd like to just take one or two ideas from the reading today. It's taken from Amos chapter 3 and 4. And he says, Hear this word, O children of Israel. Hear this word, O children of Israel. My friends, we have to try to attune our ears. Try to attune our ears to hear God speaking. God can speak through me. God can speak through the Word of God that you meditate upon. God can speak through the beauty of nature. God can speak through circumstances. God can speak through joys as well as through sorrows and sufferings. So let's pray that we'd be able to attune our ears to hear God speaking to us. Many of you who have done the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, you remember the meditation of the call of the king, the call of the temporal king and the call of the eternal king. What is the grace that we beg for in the call of the king? Temporal as well as eternal. We pray for the grace not to be deaf to the call of the king. Now, this is what Amos says. You alone have I favored more than all the families of the earth. You alone have I favored more than all the families of the earth. He's addressing this to the Israelites, the Jewish people, obviously before Jesus came, but we can apply this to ourselves. You alone have I favored. My friends in Christ, even though the Catholic Church is going through a tough time. The pandemic, there have been scandals, the churches have had lockdowns. The church is going through a difficult time. The church has always gone through a crisis or crises. That's part of living. So, in the time of Irenaeus, you had Gnosticism. In the time of Cyril of Alexandria, you had the danger of Nestorianism. In the time of St. Augustine, you had the problem of Arianism. In the time of St. Ignatius, you had the Protestant Reformation, as well as the attack of the Muslims. Church has always gone through a crisis. Church has always gone through a crisis. So, we have to recognize that we are God's spoiled children. Let's just spell it out. We're God's spoiled children. You alone have I favored more than all the families on the earth. That's us in the Catholic Church. That's the application of Amos chapter 3 today. You alone have I favored more than all the families of the earth. And the church is a family. You might say, well, why Father Brougham am I favored? Because as a Catholic, you have the fullness of the truth. That's right. As a Catholic, you have the fullness of the truth. You have the Eucharist. You have Mass, Holy Communion, the Eucharist. We should thank God for this gift. You have the real presence of Jesus in the tabernacle. We should thank God for this. You have God's gift of mercy every time you go to confession. Thank God for this. You have Mary as your mother, your life, your sweetness, and your hope. Thank God for this. You have the communion of saints, the saints in heaven, that are your friends, praying for you. Thank God for this. You have 2,000 years of tradition and the writings of the fathers of the church, the doctors of the church. Thank God for this. We have many devotions and traditions, novenas, triduums, feasts, solemnities. Thank God for this. You have the presence of the angels to be with you. Thank God for this. So that's the point I'd like to highlight from the prophet Amos. You alone have I favored more than all the families of the earth. But then, therefore I will punish you for all your crimes. We cannot neglect the following verse. And what the Word of God is saying is the following. It's the parable of the talents. The more that you're given from God, the more that you're given from God, the more that you're given from God, the more you're responsible to give back. He who has much has to give much. He who has little has less to give because he hasn't been given that much. But we should try to be generous with the gifts that God has given to us and not give in to laziness. Idleness is the workshop of the devil, and all of us will have to render an account to God on the day of our judgment. So, those are just a couple ideas from Amos, that we are very favored. We're the most blessed family on earth, the Catholic family, but we have to be responsible for the gifts that God has given to us. And the responsorial psalm is Psalm 5. Lead me in your justice, Lord. The psalm says, at dawn I bring my plea expectantly before you. For you, O God, delight not in wickedness, no evil man remains with you. The arrogant may not stand in your sight. Let us pray that we are not arrogant. We're not conceited. We're not proud. We're not puffed up. We're not self-sufficient. But our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And the psalm, response of our psalm, concludes by saying, "But I, because of your abundant mercy, will enter your house. I'll worship at your holy temple in fear of you, O Lord." Psalms are very beautiful, my friends. Get in the habit of praying over the psalms. If you like, especially the psalm that you have in the Mass. Or if you like, you might even learn to pray the psalms in what is called the Liturgy of the Hours. Once we become a deacon, we have two promises, celibacy and praying the Liturgy of the Hours. So both nuns and priests, it's our obligation to the church to pray the Liturgy of the Hours every day. And there are five different times. There's morning prayer, midday prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, and then the office of readings you can pray any time during the day. So we pray the Liturgy of the Hours to sanctify the hours of the day. So you might consider, eventually to learn to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. Actually, what we do in our parish is at about 7:30, right about when I'm starting with you our perseverance class, we pray it. So certain parishes are already in the habit of praying the Liturgy of the Hours, which consists basically of the 150 Psalms. So let's move now to the Gospel for the day. Gospel for today is, I think, is a gospel that you're really going to like. And I mentioned at the beginning of our talk that only once in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, only once, one time, do we find Jesus asleep. And the only time you find him asleep would be in the last place that you would expect him to be sleeping. And that's today, which we find in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27, these five verses. So, let's go through it. Jesus most likely has had a very busy day. He's had a very busy day where he's preaching and teaching and helping the people, helping the sick. He's had a very busy day. So he tells the apostles to get into the boat. He gets into the boat. And don't forget that Peter, James, John, Andrew, possibly other the apostles, these are professional fishermen, so they knew the lake very well. They knew what calmness was, but they also know what a storm is. So the disciples are in the boat, and they're in the boat. Jesus is exhausted. So while they're in the boat, Jesus, in one part of the boat, he falls asleep. He's so tired because he's preaching and teaching the whole day. He's helping out the people, possibly doing miracles. So he is exhausted, and he falls asleep. So they're in the boat. His apostles are there. They're the professional fishermen. They know the lake well. Jesus falls asleep. So suddenly, a violent storm came upon the sea. And I had the privilege of about 15 years ago, I went on pilgrimage to Poland and the Holy Land. And I was actually in a boat in Lake Galilee. And I'd read that Lake Galilee could be very calm and peaceful, then all of a sudden, without any notice or anticipation, a storm or a squall could kick up without any anticipation. So when I was in the boat, I was thinking about that. Thanks be to God that I know how to swim. But the pilgrims that were with me, I'm not sure whether or not they know how to swim. Hopefully, at least they had a lifesaver on. But what happens is a violent storm kicks up on the sea. And as a result of that, the boat is being swamped by waves. So you get the storm. Water is leaking into the church in buckets, but Jesus is asleep. So of all the times in which our Lord falls asleep, he's falling asleep in the midst of a violent storm on the lake. And there are many lessons that we can glean or derive from this passage. The apostle is aware of the danger of this ship possibly capsizing and sinking, and maybe they're losing their lives. They're in real danger. So they came to Jesus and they wake him up. And they say to him these words that can be part of our words, and these words that can be a prayer for us. And there are six words, two short sentences. Lord, save us. We are perishing. Powerful words. Lord, save us. Lord, save us. We are perishing. We might even incorporate those words in our own spiritual vocabulary. Lord, save us. We are perishing. So Jesus wakes up, and what he does, Jesus, with great calmness, without worrying, even though the storm has descended upon the lake as well as on the ship, he says, why are you terrified, O you of little faith? Good question. Why are you terrified, O you of little faith? So Jesus, who has been asleep, he gets up and he rebukes the wind, the powerful wind, as well as the sea. So as soon as Jesus rebukes the wind and the sea, right away, there's a great calm. Now contemplate the contrast. You've got this powerful storm that the apostles were afraid were going to not only swamp the boat, which it was already doing, but there was a danger maybe of the boat going under the waters. And them drowning. Because these men could probably swim, but in the midst of a storm, that's going to be very difficult. So you have the violent storm, then with Jesus getting up, rebuking it, there's a great calm. Immediately. Rebuking the winds and the sea, right away there's a great calm. Now imagine you're in the boat. You're in the boat with the apostles. What would be your reaction? Well, the gospel says that they were amazed. They're amazed and they said, "What sort of man is this? What sort of man is this? Whom even the winds and the sea obey him." What sort of man is this that even the sea and the waves obey him upon his word? My friends, there are many interpretations. First, my friends, is this. That boat in which you have the apostles and Jesus himself, that boat, the bark of Peter, that is the church. Now, if they were to have jumped out of that boat, they would have drowned. The boat is the church. My friends, stay in the boat of the church. Invite other people to get back into the boat. Many people are in the sea, outside the boat, and they don't have a lifesaver. Many, maybe some of your relatives and friends, stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Remember the Ark of Noah, who was saved? Noah, his wife, and relatives, or those outside the Ark? It was Noah and his family that was saved. Stay in the church. Stay in the bark of Peter. Stay in it. Stay in it. Stay in the boat. The bark of Peter, as I said earlier, has always gone through tough times. Within the church and without the church. Fulton Sheen says when the church is attacked from without through persecution, the church is stronger from within. When the church is weak from within, that happens too, and the church suffers. But stay in the church. Stay in the church. Next, sometimes it seems as if Jesus is asleep. Sometimes it seems as if Jesus is asleep. Do not be afraid to go to Jesus and to wake him up. Now the next point is this, is that as the disciples experience a lot of the storm. So the storm that descended upon the apostles is symbolic of our lives. Our lives in which we are assaulted by many trials, tribulations, sufferings, setbacks, crosses, contradictions. My friends, our life is like being in that boat in the sea in which the storm descends. That's part of the human plight. That's part of existence. We all have storms in our own lives. We all have our own storms. What are the storms that you have gone through in your life? Some of the storms that we go through, my friends, are minor storms. Others are maybe medium-sized storms. Other storms, my friends, are maybe very violent and powerful. But no matter what the storm that you may have experienced or experience in your life, maybe it appears as if Jesus is asleep. Maybe it appears that way. But he's not offended if you wake him up. Quite the contrary, he's happy. He's happy if you imitate the apostles and you say, Lord, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Beautiful prayer. So in the storms of your life, like the apostles, turn to Jesus and say, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And the Lord will extend his hand and he'll help to calm the storms in your life. Beautiful passage, my friends. Beautiful passage. And I'd like to give you, my friends, my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May my friends just say, Lord, save us. Lord, save us. We are perishing, and the Lord will calm the storms in your life. Amen.